Agreeth rather fine. And we are all receptants that know the Lord of His love and mercy. And we thank Him for that love and mercy. Thank Him that we can be heirs of His blessings, be in His family, enjoy the fellowship of His people and of the Lord Himself. We're glad for everyone that's here this morning, and we want to share some of the word of the Lord. Want the Lord to bless it. I was impressed with two verses here in the 12th chapter of Revelations. Let's start with the 10th verse. It says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." To me, this is a great, great scripture. It's great promises, great victory. To know that there is come to us salvation, and with that salvation, there's strength and power in Christ, that the accuser, which is Satan, of the brethren is cast down, or we have received power over him, and able to conquer and arise above the accuser, which is the devil. And we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and we love not our life unto death. I'm thinking this morning about the power to overcome. With that, I think also that probably in all of our lives there have been times that we didn't have that power, that we were overcome, that we tried in our own strength, we wanted to be stronger, we wanted to do better, but we simply did not have the power or the strength, and so we were overcome. Sometimes people are overcome with sin. Sometimes people are overcome with their lusts, their desires, spirit and the power of the world. Sometimes people are overcome with envy and jealousy. Sometimes people are overcome with anger. There are a lot of things this morning that overcome people. And in many of those cases, people somewhat endeavor or try in their own selves to overcome that. But they simply are not able to overcome that in themselves. People today try to change their lives. You know, sometimes they come to the conclusion that the way that I'm living isn't right and it's not satisfying. And with the guilt and the remorse, they purpose in themselves, I think I'll change. I'm going to try to change and do a little better. And so in some events, they might even decide, well, I'll go to church. Well, to go to church is a good thing. But just that in itself will not empower you to overcome, will not give you the strength that you need to be an overcomer over all of the accusers, over all the power of the enemy, and in every way that he would seek to accuse or destroy or hinder us in our life. Sad, isn't it? There's people today that are bound by sin, bound by the power of sin. The Apostle Paul, he spoke of that in the 7th chapter of Romans when he said, the things that I would do, I can't do, and things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. It was simply that he was bound and he wasn't able to live righteous. He wasn't able to do that which he ought to do. There are people today in life that are endeavoring to live a saved life, but they still have areas in their life that they're not really overcoming. Different things. And they're struggling with that. And part of them wishes they would do better. Just simply are not overcoming the powers and the forces of this world and of the enemy of their soul. And so they struggle and they struggle. It may be along one line, it may be another. Sometimes people have problems with pride. And they struggle with that. That's powerful. Pride is a powerful thing. Jealousy is a powerful thing. Anger is a powerful thing. A lot of those forces control people, and they're not able to overcome that in themselves. But the good news this morning is that the God that we love and serve has made provisions, has made ways that we can be overcomers. That we can overcome all the power of the enemy. And we can overcome everything that would bring disappointment and everything that would cause us to feel insufficient when it comes to His true righteousness and holiness in our life. The Lord has made provisions where that we can be victorious, that we can be overcomers. Whether it be a rebellion and sin or whether it be what we would consider weaknesses and shortcomings in our life, the Lord has made provisions that we can reach that place in Him where we can be an overcomer, where we can be victorious in that, where we can soar above the trial or the test that we have. I like to think of it like this. That which I consider my weakness, I would like to excel in that. I would like that to become a strong point in my life. That I would really be victorious, that I'd really be an overcomer, whatever it may be. And this morning I'm sure that all of us at different times in our lives have felt, well, that's just a weakness I have, or that's a shortcoming. And it may not really be the righteousness that we know that we ought to have in our life, but let us take renewed courage this morning and purpose in our hearts that I, by God's help, I'm going to seek that that would become a strong point in my life. That I could excel in His grace and His righteousness through His way. In the 21st chapter of Revelations and the 7th verse, it says, He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. The word of the Lord teaching us that we that would overcome will inherit all things, every promise of God, every blessing. And He says He will be our God and that we can be His son. I don't know of a greater accomplishment this morning. I don't know of a greater privilege today than to be a child of God, to have Him as our Father and that we would be His children. But He said it's to those that overcome, those that are victorious. The Lord this morning wants every one of us in our individual lives as well as together. He wants us to be victorious. He wants us to overcome everything that would hinder us in living and serving Him. In the 7th chapter of Revelations, I like to read here in the 9th and 10th verse. It says, And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And dropping to the 13th verse, And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these, and which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, having washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. To all the redeemed of all ages, as they stand before the Lord, clothed in their raiment of righteousness, in white robes, victorious, overcomers, having gone through great tribulation, having been greatly afflicted, having their real trials, their real temptations. This morning, that's a way of life. To everyone that chooses to live for God, to everyone that yields their heart and life to the Lord, you can know this, that you are going to be a tried and a tested people. The commitment you make, the love that you have for God, is going to be sure, and it's going to be tested, it's going to be tried. God permits us today to go through great tribulation. He permits us to have our trials, our temptations, and our tests. And I like to think of it like this all the time. It's really manifesting or proving my love and my commitment to the Lord. How else this morning could we really manifest, how else could we really witness to our love to the Lord, except we would face temptations and trials for His name's sake? Now, the Scripture teaches us here in the 7th chapter of Revelations that as we appear before the throne of God, all nations, all kindred, all the redeemed, in their white robes, righteous, holy, ready to meet the Lord. And one of them said, "Who are these people and where did they come from?" "These are they that came through great tribulation, and they're overcomers. They're victorious through the plan of salvation and through the power and the grace of God. They met life. They met temptations. They met their trials. They were faithful. They were victorious. And salvation is theirs." He also said, "They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." My text this morning, in the 11th verse, it teaches us here in the 12th chapter, in the 11th verse, "And they overcame him," the enemy, "by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death." The only way that mankind can overcome this morning, to begin with, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. There are people today that are trying other ways. There are people that are trying in their own strength. They're trying in their purpose. And they feel like, well, maybe I'll just change my course in life. I'll try to do a little better. And maybe sometimes really try to live a better life and not do things they shouldn't do. But that is not power in itself. Not enable a man to change his life just by within himself seeking to do so. But we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And in the first chapter of Revelations and the 5th verse, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood." This morning we have been washed from our sins, where our sins have been forgiven, simply because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And through the wonderful power of the blood, and when it was applied to our heart and life, it is that source, it is that power, it is the way in which our sins were washed away. We sing that song sometimes, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Through His precious sacrifice, His atonement, through His love, He willingly gave and sacrificed His blood, that through that blood this morning we could be saved, that we can know the forgiveness of sins and have peace with the Lord. I believe this morning we need to put a greater emphasis on that. I feel like we need to give it greater notice, for without it, none of us have any hope this morning. Any of us this morning would be on our way to eternal destruction. We couldn't change the course of our life. We couldn't save ourselves. And we couldn't get forgiveness of our sins. It was only through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter, it again speaks of this. 1 Peter, the first chapter, I believe, and the 19th. Read the 18th verse. It says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold." You know, in the world today, people feel like silver and gold or the dollar is just the answer to about everything. And it works in many areas of life through bribery and influence. The silver and gold of men brings prestige and many times enables them to attain what they want. But the Bible says this morning it's not through silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. This morning you and I did not buy our salvation. We did not win it through influence or through our righteousness or our natural ability or our association. But we're saved this morning simply because Jesus' blood was shed. And that blood has been applied unto our heart and our life. That works in little children's lives. Little children that may not understand a whole lot, but they need to know they need to be saved. They'll come to a place of prayer. And they'll ask the Lord to forgive them and to come into their little hearts. And that's exactly what happens. That blood of Jesus comes in their heart and life and wash away their sin. It is no difference in them and in the hardened criminal, the man today that's behind bars, whose life is wrecked and ruined, whose lives, there are many evil deeds. And he must meet the same conditions. He comes to the Lord and acknowledges and repents of his sin. He pleads that precious blood to be applied to his heart and life. And just like the little child, that blood will come into their heart and their life and wash away all their sins and make them have peace with the Lord. That's how powerful, that's how far-reaching, and that's how great the blood of Jesus Christ is. We overcome this morning. The world can overcome this morning by the blood of the Lamb. People who have tried to live for the Lord, people who have failed, and people who have become utterly discouraged with trying to be a Christian and live a Christian life, they too have access to the blood of Jesus. And though they have failed many times, the prodigal son, if they'll simply acknowledge and humble their heart, they too can come to the cross and they too can seek that blood to be applied to their heart and life, and they can have forgiveness of sins and have the peace of God and eternal life within them. That's how wonderful and how precious the blood of Jesus Christ is this morning. For they overcome by the blood of the Lamb. The Scripture also says over here in 1 John, the first chapter and the 7th verse, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. As we come to know the Lord, and as we walk in the light, and as we enjoy the fellowship of all believers, it said that that precious blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all sin. Enable us to be pure and holy and righteous in this world today. Today we don't enjoy that simply because of who we are or who we associate with or who recognizes us, but it's because that blood of the Lord has been applied into our heart and our life and made us new creatures in Christ and wrought life within our hearts. That's what brought it to us this morning. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. The apostle in the 20th chapter of the Acts, he was giving instructions to the ministry, and he told him to feed the church of God, which he, the Lord, hath purchased with his own blood. The Lord this morning purchased us, every one of his children, the church as we know it, in all of its beauty, in all of its greatness, and all of its value to us. I don't know of anything this morning that we value more greatly than His church, His people. And what a beautiful people it is. What a beautiful body in the world. But the Lord purchased that. He paid the price. He made the atonement that it could be that we could have a church, that we could have a true church, God's church, and that it would be triumphant. You know, I believe we sang there, the bond of perfectness and the ties of love and unity that we enjoy in the body of Christ this morning. The greatness of the church and how it thrills the soul because of its power and its righteousness and its glory and its purity. That's what makes the appeal that it has, and that's why we enjoy it. But remember, Jesus, He purchased that. He bought it with the shedding of His blood, with the giving of His life, and that blood flowed freely that we could be redeemed and that we could enjoy the beauty and the grace and the joy and the holiness that we have in our hearts and lives this morning in an individual way as well as collectively. What does the church mean to you this morning? Do you glory in it? Do you love it? Do you appreciate it? Does it have that appeal, that beauty to you? Remember, it's the Lord's church. And it's what it is because that blood was shed, because that life was given that we could truly have life. So this morning, whatever it may be that we need to overcome, first of all, we overcome it by the blood of the Lamb. That blood that never loses power. That blood that's able to reach every life. That blood that's able to meet every need. Whether you consider it great and impossible, or whether you consider it maybe just a little need, that precious blood of Jesus was shed to reach you and to meet that need and bring that forgiveness and restore and make whole. We overcome this morning by the blood of the Lamb. It says we also overcome by the word of our testimony. In the 66th Psalm, the 16th verse, it says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. If you'll come and hear, ye that fear the Lord, I want to declare to you what God has done for my soul, what He's done for me." And to overcome by the word of our testimony, it says there they overcome by the word of their testimony, meaning a personal individual. Their testimony, and that's how we overcome, through the testimony that we declare by faith. A testimony is a solemn declaration made to establish some fact. And so when we witness to the Lord and of His promises and what it has brought into our life, we don't say, "Well, I think I'm saved." You know, you don't really overcome with a declaration like that. Someone said, "Well, you think you're a Christian?" "Well, I hope I am, and I wish I was." That in itself doesn't enable us to be an overcomer of the enemy that would seek to cast us down. But when I can boldly declare and bring forth a testimony that through faith and on the merits of Jesus' shed blood, yes, I am forgiven, and I'm a child of the King. I'm saved by grace. And I witness to that. I declare that boldly, not because of who I am or not because of my own ability, but because by faith I accept the promises of God. And when I met the conditions of those promises, and when I repented of my sins and turned from them, I put my faith in His promise and in His shed blood. And through that I declare boldly and in all solemn and honesty and seriousness that I'm a born-again child of God. I've been made alive, and I overcome by the word of my testimony. There is a place for us to exercise in overcoming. While we're totally dependent upon the blood of the Lord, we have a faith to declare, and through declaring that faith, we overcome. In the 10th chapter of Romans, you know there's a familiar verse about being saved here. The 10th chapter and the 9th verse says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it is through our testimony that we declare our salvation, that we make known that I have been forgiven. I have received life. And in doing so, it says, thou shalt be saved. Or you shall overcome. Now, when we meet the conditions and promises of God's Word, He wants us to receive that and accept it in our life, and He wants us to bring forth a testimony of that. Has the accuser, the brethren, ever told you that you weren't saved? I dare say there's not anyone in this building this morning. I think I could safely say that. That the enemy of your soul has not challenged your salvation at some time. And generally brought along the thought, why don't you just throw it all up? You're not saved. You don't have any feelings of emotion. And he's challenged your salvation. The forgiveness of your sins. But remember, the accuser of the brethren is cast down. And he's cast down by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. It is important this morning to accept the promises, the covenants of the Lord, meet the conditions, and therefore, by life and by word, witness to that in our life. It's a good thing sometimes to point. Sometimes there's a song, I know when it happened, I was there when it happened, or something of that nature, and point them back to where I know what happened, when it took place. Now, not everybody can remember the exact day, the exact time. But you can remember the time when you met God, and you can remember the time when you met the conditions of His Word, and you accepted His promise, and you let it work in your heart and life. And we need to declare, and we need to seek God until we can, that I'm a child of God, that I'm saved, that I have my sins forgiven, that I know Him, and I'm at peace with God. That's something the Lord provided for all of us this morning. And He wants us to overcome to that. Don't want you to have to live in a way and say, well, yes, I think I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. I really want to be a Christian. But the Lord's plan this morning is that we can know that we've been brought from death to life. We can know that our sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus. And in doing so, we overcome the enemy by testifying to that. We know other things too. In 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and the apostle here says, the 19th verse, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, which is your spirit, in your spirit, which are God's. Don't you know this morning that you're bought with a price and you're not your own, but you belong to God? I testify to you, it's a fact, that I'm not my own, but I'm God's. You tell that to the accuser of the brethren. You boldly declare that I'm not my own. When you meet your trials, and when you meet things that kind of have a tendency to upset you and have a tendency to try you, declare your testimony, what? I'm a temple of the Lord. I'm not my own. This is God's problem. Whatever comes against me, the problems I meet, I just turn them over to God because I'm His vessel. I'm His. And I'm not my own anymore. You see how we overcome by the word of our testimony? When you're meeting severe trials, and when people sometimes would abuse and do you wrong, and you have a tendency with bitterness and unforgiveness and hurt, you can declare in your testimony, I'm not my own. You know, this isn't really my problem. I refuse to be hurt. I refuse to be unforgiving. I refuse to be bitter. I'm not my own. I'm the Lord's. I'm His vessel. And in doing that, you'll overcome. We overcome by the word of our testimony. The temptations we meet, the trials we have, we can overcome them today if we'll, with a solemn declaration, declare that I'm the Lord's. I'm just His channel. I'm His servant. And whatever He permits to happen to me, that's between them and God. I'll just commit it to Him. overcoming this morning. We want to be overcomers in all of our trials, in all of our temptations. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it tells about godly people who were seeking a better country. 13th verse says, they all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but they seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, overcoming by the word of their testimony, overcoming the allurements and the temptations and the things that would sidetrack and hinder in a spiritual life. I'm declaring, it's my testimony that I'm a stranger and a pilgrim. I'm just journeying through this world. And what the Lord blesses me with, I'll be stewards of, and I'll care for that in His will. But as far as my affections and as far as my goals in life is to live for Him, is to serve Him, I'm overcoming by the word of my testimony. My testimony this morning is I'm a pilgrim and a stranger just journeying through this world, looking for a better country. The Lord wants us to be overcomers. And there is a way to overcome. It's through His blood. And it's through our testimony. Then, it's also inasmuch as it says, and they love not their lives unto death. Our lives are so precious to us. People's will are so important to them. You know, my preference, my will, my rights, my ways, they're all so meaningful and so hard to separate from sometimes. But my scripture this morning says we overcome the enemy or the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and we love not our life unto death. You will never be totally satisfied in your Christian experience till you reach that place that you love not your life unto death. In other words, where you love God and you love His will and His way even more than your own life. And that's how we overcome. And that's where a lot of people struggle in their Christian experience, because they've not really reached that place where they love God more than they love their life or their own way or their own will. But that's how you overcome. That's how you're victorious, and that's how we're going to make heaven our home. What enables us, there's only one thing that will really enable us to love not our lives unto death, and that is love itself. Love is, without question, in my opinion, the strongest force that there really is. The scripture says we love Him because He first loved us. Now to try to meet the consecration, try to move into an experience where you love God more than your own life, the only way that that can be accomplished is to love Him more than you love yourself. And we love Him this morning because He first loved us. And if God can help us this morning, if God can help us this morning to understand how much He really loved us, how much He really cared about you, then I feel like that will help you to respond in that way, to love Him in a way that you can meet the consecration, and through the consecration, you can be an overcomer. So let us consider just briefly how much the Lord does love us. In the third chapter of this same book, 1 John, in the 13th verse, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God. Let me turn and read that. I want to get it just right. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brother. Think about it this morning. Of the one who laid down His life for us. Jesus Christ, Son of God, who is holy and righteous and pure, He actually gave His life. He laid it down for you and for me. And I have strong convictions this morning that had I been the only one that would have accepted it, I still believe he would have went to the cross. I believe he would have laid it down. He knew that just a few was going to accept it anyway, didn't he? Though he died for all the world could be saved. At that time, he knew that it wouldn't be the vast majorities that would accept that atonement or that plan or that sacrifice. He knew it'd just be a few. But his love was so great and so true that he's willing to do it for the few. And he is willing to do it for us today. I want to call our attention right now to the Apostle Paul's instructions over in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, to just make this a little stronger in our minds. In the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, in the 23rd verse, the Apostle says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he is betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Can you see in your minds this morning the Lord with his disciples there? Knowing that it wasn't but a short time that he was going to be offered up, that he was going to be nailed to the cross, that he was going to suffer great agony, and that he was going to actually shed his blood and give his life. And here now he's sitting with his disciples, those that loved him and believed in him, and he's instituting what we commonly consider the Lord's Supper. And he says, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for who? It's broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." And why do you suppose the Lord wanted us to do this in remembrance of him? Do you think he was seeking our pity? No. You think he was seeking to make us feel obligated? No. He wanted us to remember the love above all and the sacrifice that love brought and the redemption of our souls that we could be saved. And so he instituted this. He knows the frailness of the human mind, how busy life gets, and how so often we don't think a lot about his great sacrifice and about his suffering, about his atonement, and the love that brought it all about. Sometimes that it isn't as vivid or isn't as sensitive to our thinking as it should be. And so he instituted that we might be reminded that he suffered and that he died because he truly loved us. That's every one of us this morning. Regardless of who we are, regardless of how our failures might be, little or large, how we might feel about ourselves sometimes and feel that I'm such a failure and I have such a hard time overcoming, I want you to know this morning that Jesus died. He died for all of us because he loved us and he really cared about us. And he was wanting to help us overcome. He wanted to help us to be victorious. And that's why he laid his life down. The love that he had to each and every one of us. The Apostle Paul this morning, Apostle Paul in 2 Galatians in the 20th verse, he said, "I'm crucified with Christ," or "I've died with Christ. And nevertheless I live, and yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Talking about a consecration. My scripture in Revelation said, "And they love not their lives unto death." Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live in the Son of God who loved me by faith. And the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." See how personal it was? I'm living this life where I love not my life unto death for the one that loved me and gave himself for me, the one that really cared about me. This morning, that's how it'll work in all of our lives. If it's going to work in our life, that's the way it's going to work. You're going to come to a real inspired revelation that Jesus Christ loved me. He gave it all that I could be saved. And now I just want to respond in like manner. And I want to give it all. I want to not save my life or anything that I might would please Him. Another testimony of the apostle here in the 20th chapter of Acts. In the 22nd verse, the apostle says, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." How did the apostle Paul feel about this? The Lord had witnessed to him. Says, wherever you go, you're going to have trials. You're going to be bound. You're going to have difficult times. But he overcame them, didn't he? He said, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." None of these things move me. Why did they not move him? The bonds and afflictions, the trials, the tough times. Why did they not move him? Because he had come to the place that he didn't count his life dear unto himself. And that's how you overcome. In closing, I want to read in the 8th chapter of Romans, in the 35th verse, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." We are able to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and loving not our life unto death. And so the testimony here is that in all these things we are more than conquerors through Jesus that loved us. "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." And none of those things really can hinder us from being overcomers. We can be an overcomer. We can be victorious. And I would encourage you to take courage this morning. Whatever it may be, if you're not living for the Lord, if there's sin in your life, know this, that's why Jesus died. And that's why he shed his blood, that we could be forgiven of our sins. Bring us to a place where we can have a testimony of his grace and power in our life, and a consecration that is totally given to the Lord. May God bless each one of us, is my prayer. Amen.